Okay, so Drew, here's the deal. And this was like me the other day with John Carpenter.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge sports fan, but John Carpenter touched a nerve with me on the whole Gene Bennett thing.
Yeah.
So Jim Forrest driving along. Jim, you're there, right?
I'm here.
Hi, Jim.
I think, Drew, you may have touched a nerve.
Really?
Yeah. Because I've seen Jim moonwalk around the office. No, I'm kidding, Jim. But here's, and that little hat and the glove.
Yeah.
He looks so cute.
Yeah.
You should see me moonwalk.
Yeah, he's not, I don't think he's a huge Michael Jackson fan, but... Go ahead, Jim. I'll turn it over to you.
I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan. I mean, I liked his music, and but I'm not a huge fan. It's not like I watched every bit of the funeral and cried like a lot of people did. I'm not saying that fans shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is I can't believe you said you were going to play that theme song, referring back to the accusations that were made against Michael, when, number one, he went to trial.
Yes.
And was proven
on one of them.
Not guilty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, all of that doesn't mean a thing if the jury found him not guilty, okay?
Yes.
Now, they say, well, he paid off some people. Well, there's reasons why people make deals, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're guilty,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
You should know better than that. You should know that. And mm-hmm. and the thing that really, I guess, upsets me is, mm-hmm. God forbid that you, your brother, somebody in your family, your kids one of these days, gets accused of something that they didn't do, and it's proven that they didn't do it, but people still talk about them and make fun of them and say, oh, but this cloud that hangs over their head and everything.
Okay.
The guy's dead. He can't.
Well, wait. In fairness, and I'm with you on this, Jim, I'm the one that said the cloud's hanging over there. And really, there is a cloud hanging over Michael Jackson the last several years, and certainly over the dead.
Yeah, one of the weirdest people in the world, no doubt
right.
about it.
Okay.
But that doesn't make him a child molester.
Well, I didn't say a word about that. I can see where you're coming with Drew's thing in the song. Okay?
Yes.
And that was just, Okay,
well,
so that's true.
He was insinuating that. And they just buried the guy yesterday. He can't speak for himself anymore. And a jury already said he was guilty. I mean, let's leave it alone. Let's call him a weirdo. Let's say that he was one of the weirdest, like a lot of entertainers are. let's say that he was one of the weirdest people you ever met. But let's not go places where the court said that he didn't do, and that people make fun of, because God forbid that ever happened to somebody in your family.
And that's a good point. Point taken.
Yeah. OJ was acquitted also. And you say, write a check and all of this. Well, if I'm innocent, truly innocent of this horrific and horrendous charge, I don't write a $25 million. I'm sorry.
It wasn't
I don't care if I've got only $25 million, $100. I'm not writing a $25 million check.
It wasn't the same case. It was a totally different case.
Sure it was. Okay.
It was how much.
Could I speak now? It was a totally different case. You're exactly right.
You're missing the point. You don't know how much.
Sure I do. It's been reported.
Let me finish. You don't know how much they were trying to extort from him for him to settle for that, to try to keep from going to trial, to try and keep from all that stuff again. There's always
Well, why didn't he file extortion charges?
There is always reasons deals are made, okay? There are reasons deals are made.
Absolutely.
And it's not always the bad reasons that everybody thinks they are.
The underlying root of that, which you said a deal was made on, was the worst thing, short of murder, that you could possibly do, and that is child molestation.
But he didn't do it.
Okay, well, let's take this then, okay?
And
in 93, this happened.
What's it got to do with O.J.? I mean, OJ, they tried him. He was found not guilty. By a court of law, he did not commit those murders.
Right.
How you and I might feel about that
mm-hmm.
is a whole different story.
Kind of like how you and I differ on how I feel about Michael Jackson.
And I'm not saying that you don't have the right to feel that way. What I am saying is I don't think we have the right to bash him over something that has never been proven to be absolutely true. That's what I'm saying. Because the guy, it'd be different if the guy's alive. He can take up for himself. He can talk for himself.
Before this week. He was alive for 50 years. He could have taken up for himself at any time.
But let's face it, Drew. We always tend to want to get on people's case and talk the bad stuff about them. When they're gone, they can't defend themselves, and that's not fair. It's just not fair when they're gone. He defended himself all along, saying he was not guilty from day one. He said he was not guilty from day one in every interview that he did. He said he was not guilty. So you can't say he didn't defend himself. He did. He did the smart thing at the end. He just kept his mouth shut after he got acquitted. He never said another word about it.
Is that before or after he did the Bashir interview with the journalist over in London, where he talked about how it was wonderful that he let little boys into his bed and slept with them?
He also said in that interview that nothing ever happened, and that it wasn't sleep with them,
okay,
as the all rest right of the world the defines sleep with them.
Okay.
And if you listen to the whole interview, he was pretty defensive about the fact that he loves children and he had no sexual thoughts about children at all, and his three kids seemed to love him quite a bit.
I'm just saying, if I went through what he went through in 93 and wrote that huge check, I would never, ever put myself in that position again.
Well, that's
and
pretty weird.
He put himself all in that position again.
Well, and he said he told another interviewer, I think it was Diane Sawyer or somebody else, saw that he or Barbara Walters, said he would do it again. That he didn't see anything wrong. I think he was weird, and I think you're absolutely right. I wouldn't have put myself in the position, and I don't think most people would. But he was weird. He was different.
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt about it.
My point of the matter is you don't bash people when they haven't been proven to be guilty on anything, especially when they're dead and they can't defend themselves anymore. I just think that's tasteless. Gotta go.
I don't know when I lost control of the show.
Long time ago.
Bye, Jim.
Sorry, Scotty.
That's all right. That's Jim Forrest calling in because we were talking about Michael Jackson.
Hey.
Yeah, tasteless. Well, you know, I consider sleeping with boys tasteless. You know, I'm sorry, you know, and really I'm not. I mean, we obviously have a difference of opinion. But the school of thought for me goes back to, if you have children or if you had grandchildren, would you have let them go spend the night at Michael Jackson's house?
There you go.
Knowing he's going to sleep in the bed with those children. Would you have done that?
It's a little awkward.
So
creepy.
I personally wouldn't.
All right.
But that's just me. And I guarantee you, a whole heck of a lot of parents and grandparents feel the same way. They, under no circumstances, would they have allowed that to happen.
And here's the bottom line. You can take this and many other topics up,
yes,
with Drew Skaggs.
But you know what? I was
21
didn't
minutes.
But before that, I was defending him, saying, you know, I scuffed at it. And the more I thought about it, the more, yeah, he probably was the greatest entertainer ever. You know? And
you said that.
Yeah.
I was the one that said Plows. I was the one that said Black Plows. That was
did,
me.
You record. Did say Black
Plows. Yeah, but you know
cloud.
What? It got lumped onto you, and I was okay with that.
I know.
I tossed you right under the bus when Jim called. That was kind of fun.
I know. I kind of thumped right under that
bus,
didn't I?
Yeah, it was a good solid hit.
Yeah,
all right. Drew's coming your way.
This is Airing It Out, broadcasting live from the Palatial Studios of 105.7 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. Welcome to the juggernaut known as AIO, where we bring to you topical talk radio that is informative, illustrative, ingratiating, instigating, infuriating, emotions felt all at the exact same time. And infuriating's the word of the day already, even in Scott Martin's show, The Afternoon Train Wreck. A throwaway line about Michael Jackson, and Jim calls in just mad, madder than a hornet. We can be reached 1-800-551-1057 or by going to drewskaggs.com. That is the live internet stream of the show. And he said it was tasteless, and we had a long conversation about what he was referencing to. And if you're just tuning in, We have various theme songs here, all a play on a person, a subject, whatever. And they're usually humorous, at least I think so. And the one from Michael Jackson that we've played for close to 2 years now has been Where the Boys Are from Connie Francis. And Jim called in furious about it, said it was tasteless. Because after all, he's dead now, and we had a long conversation about it all. But at the root of it, it was tasteless. Well, one person's tasteless is another person's humor. It's just all in that particular person. And you know, for some reason, I must be the only one talking about this. I don't know about you, but I've gotten the Michael Jackson jokes emailed to me. I've heard a lot of people talking about it. This is not happening in a in a bubble. Everybody's talking about it. And, you know, tasteless can be... For example, was it tasteless for Diane Sawyer this morning on Good Morning America to ask Michael Jackson's dermatologist if he was the father of Michael Jackson's children? Was that tasteless? I mean, after all, Michael Jackson's dead. Was it, is it tasteless to question Steve McNair's judgment, if we want to talk topical? Because I hear a lot of people talking about it. He's now dead. Is it going to be all? Is everything going to be tasteless? All the stuff that's going to come out now on Michael Jackson? Is it? Well, you know, money buys silence. Michael Jackson proved that. He's no longer around to stroke those checks. Thus, you have Diane Sawyer asking who the father is of your children, or of his children, less than 24 hours after the memorial. Was it tasteless, or is it tasteless, to make jokes about Elvis Presley dying on the toilet? But one final question. Is it tasteless to guffaw and laugh about David Letterman's joke about Sarah Palin's daughter? Is that tasteless? There's a huge realm of what is considered tasteless and what not is not considered tasteless. But I at least have been consistent. And that thing has been playing for 2 years, has it not? The theme song for Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
it has. It's a play on everything that's talked about Michael Jackson. And Scott hit it right. There's a cloud. There has been a cloud over his head since 1993. And whatever he has said, that cloud has never gone away. And Jim talked about, well, you know, listen, I hope you're never accused of anything. Well, I tell you this right now. If I'm ever accused of anything as heinous as that, I would spend every single dime I had to prove myself in a court of law. Well, he was found innocent in 2007. He was. But in 93, wrote a $22, $25 million check, somewhere in that range. Now, if it had stopped there, absolutely. Benefit of the doubt given. He's a huge star. He wanted to make it go away. He was facing jail time. He wrote a check for it. But any sensible, thinking human being knows you don't continue with the behavior that got you in trouble back in 1993. Anybody that's sensible knows that. So, you know, I don't care. I really don't, that I was called tasteless for wanting to play, talking about the Michael Jackson airing it out theme song, which is Connie Francis, Where the Boys Are. I don't care, because I've played it for 2 years. And nothing has changed just because he's assumed room temperature. Nothing at all. Now, on the flip side, I touched on this with Scott. I was sitting there watching the memorial with my lovely bride last night, and I heard Berry Gordy, the Motown founder, say with Smokey Robinson, and Scott brought up a good point, with Smokey Robinson, with Stevie Wonder in attendance, with all the celebrities there, said he was the greatest entertainer of all time. And I chuckled. And my wife said, who was better? And I said, well, I don't know, Sinatra, Elvis, and that's pretty much what I got to. And I was stuck, and she put me right on the spot. She said, well, could they sing and could they dance? Well, Elvis could, but, you know, and then I've heard it described this way. You know, he was able to fuse rock and pop and R&B into his own sound. And the more I've thought about it today, I've come around to her side. I think he was the greatest entertainer of all time. But the reason that I paused and I gave a chuckle and a scuffaw was the incident in 93, the incident in 2007, everything in between that cast that cloud. And I naturally, knee-jerk, don't want to give the guy credit for what he did professionally. He was wonderful. Personally, train wreck. And the question exists, as it always has, would you let your child or your grandchildren go spend the night with Michael Jackson when he was alive? Anybody that doesn't want a big check would say absolutely not. And that is not tasteless. Would that classify as controversy here on Airing It Out?
I think it might.
I think it would, too.
Yeah.
You know, but I was asked this 2 days ago. Well, somebody that had not listened to it, is your show controversial? That show being Airing It Out, which is what you're listening to. We can be reached 1-800-551-1057. And I said, you know, one person's controversial is another person's attaboy. You know, it's very hard to lump something into one neat little category. Do I bring up topics that make people uncomfortable? Yeah, I probably do. But that's what I get paid to do, give my opinion. And everything rolls off of it, much like Jim's call. And calling me tasteless. That's his opinion. He's welcome to it. However, I will stand by my opinion of Michael Jackson. If it had been a one-time thing, absolutely. But it wasn't. It continued on and on and on again. And that is the sign of a troubled individual. And how we, here at Airing It Out, a lot of the times, what we do is use humor in the form of theme songs or what have you. Thus the theme song. Now, we were supposed to have Hannah Jo Smith and her mother, Megan, on to talk about the Hannah Jo Smith Foundation that is closing in on $1 million raised for childhood cancer research. And I believe, don't quote me, I believe it's about 10 years. This might be the 10th year. Yeah, don't quote me, because it's probably more than that. But irregardless, 10, 12, however many years, to raise $1 million is just, that's marvelous. Because we're not New York. We're not Houston. You know, we're not any huge, large metro area. Although, if you combine Huntington, Ironton, and Ashland together, we're a relatively large, I guess, tri-state metro area. But for anybody, for any foundation to raise $1 million, homegrown, is just a wonderful thing. This is not a March of Dimes United Way, and I'm not besmirching them at all. They do wonderful things. But those are national deals. We have local reps for that, but those are national deals. This is local. It's the Hannah Jo Smith Leukemia Foundation. And on July 25th, they are having the Belle of Cincinnati come down. And I believe it's launching from over in Ironton. Have you heard it? Is it launching from Ironton?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. And tickets are $100 per person. Now, remember, these tickets are charitable contributions, thus tax deductible. And they've got auctions, and you can go get a cruise up and down the Ohio River on the Belle of Cincinnati. There's entertainment by a guy named Jason Meadows. I don't know who's. It's a Nashville Stars runner-up What is Nashville Star?
It was like an American Idol kind of contest.
For country music. All right. So he's going to be performing. Yeah, they're going to be boarding at the Ironton Riverfront Boat Dock, and at 6:30 boarding time, Saturday, July 25th. I'm going to try to get Hannah and Megan, or maybe John, on in the next couple shows. But check it out. It's a fantastic foundation. Does wonderful things for a lot of the kids in this area that are diagnosed with this dreadful disease, childhood leukemia. And they've got a direct pipeline into Cincinnati Children's Hospital, the medical center up there, where the money is going to go. As I said, they're having an auction. Great things. NASCAR, Bristol tickets, Reds tickets, Keeneland tickets, autographed sports memorabilia. Ooh, a Wii game. I hope my kids aren't listening. UK basketball tickets, a trip to the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas. New York Yankee tickets for four. You get a private plane, one night, two rooms, accommodations. Now that is cool. So it's a great auction, but and they've got great things there, and it's a fantastic evening. It's going to be a 5-star dinner buffet. You're going to have dancing to this Jason Meadows, and the live auction all takes place on that boat. And you can contact either Marilyn Mason, 923-2938. Nobody's going to write down these numbers. If you want the number, call in to WLGC, and not even this show, at any time. They have the information here to get you in contact to just help this worthy cause. And they are, I believe it's $40,000 short of $1 million, when this one kicked off. They're trying to raise for it to go over that $1 million figure. And I know everybody involved here because they're my cousins. Do I have a bias? Absolutely, I do have a bias. But it is a wonderful foundation, and everybody involved does wonderful things to help kids, and it's all done right here. You'd be hard-pressed to find a foundation like this that matches what has been brought in for childhood leukemia research at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. You'd be hard-matched to find a homegrown charity like this one. So it's well worth the hour. I just wish they had been able to be on tonight. And hopefully they can come on Sunday or Wednesday, because I'd really love to have them on here to talk further about it, and talk to Hannah about what she went through after she was diagnosed with it. So, does that qualify as a PSA?
I think so. Yeah.
Mean, for whatever.
I think it is.
Yeah. Well, it's just a great deal. It's a great foundation, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the people in this area. So. Check it out. Call here, 1-800-551-1057. You can call here at Airing It Out, too, and discuss anything you wish, because we duck nobody, do we?
That's right. We don't.
Even when we're called tasteless. Tasteless, do you think?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. No, I just spent 12 minutes defending us. You better right, jump on
think,
board
I
with me.
I don't think so.
So while we're on the topic of tasteless, let's roll with this. And I just wonder if this would be classified by him as tasteless. I guess before, I don't really want to put her Sarah Palin's theme song after the title, so we'll play Sarah Palin's theme song right now. Now, do you think this is tasteless? Are you familiar with the Huffington Post?
I am, yeah.
Okay. That is a left-wing blog that is an official arm of the Obama administration. As a matter of fact, the guy that wrote this article was hand-selected to ask a question of the president at a press conference. Now, I ask you, when's the last time you saw a blogger ask a question at a press conference? Can you even remember this?
I can't. No.
No, I can't either. It's ABC, NBC. It's all the alphabet networks. And it's Helen Thomas, who has been now serving, asking questions of, what, 15 different presidents?
Yeah.
You know, so it's all. So I just want to tell you exactly the background to this blog, Huffington Post. Palin will run in 2012 on more retardation platform. Yes. Eric Sean Nilsen is his name. He writes, in Sarah Palin's resignation announcement, she complained about the treatment of her son Trigg, who always teaches her life lessons. She said that the world needs more Triggs, not fewer. That's a presidential campaign promise we can all get behind. She will be the first politician to actually try to increase the population of retarded people. To me, it's kind of like saying the world needs more cancer patients because they teach us such personal lessons. Her first act as president, to introduce a pre-K lunch buffet that includes lead paint chips, sort of a large Head Start program. She will then encourage women to hold off on pregnancies until their 40s just to mix up some chromosomes. Is this tasteless? I know it's a rhetorical, but you are talking about the truly innocent here. There's shades of gray when it comes to Michael, but these are the truly innocent. He goes on, her policies will increase jobs because Walmart is building new stores each day and someone has to be the greeter. Now remember, the headline of this article, Palin will run in 2012 on more retardation platform. This will lead to smaller government because fewer Americans will have the cognitive ability to hold a government job. Look, she says she's resigning as governor because people are making attacks on her and Trigg. If she ever did become president, all Bin Laden would have to do to defeat the U.S. is Photoshop a picture of Trigg, and she'd surrender the country that night. As I said, this guy was invited to ask a question of the president. All of that right there, is that tasteless? Because I think it is. I don't see how one could look at this and not see it as being tasteless. But this is what they do. They try to destroy conservatives, and this is what the abuse of Palin and her family is intended as a warning to up-and-coming effective conservatives. This is what you face. This is what you face. Funny how the left uses the term retardation now when they can fling it around Sarah Palin's neck. Now, going with it, did you have something to hand me?
A guy named Tim called a few seconds ago.
Yes.
He said that Bush called on a guy named Jeff Gannon, who was a blogger.
And oh, really?
A prostitute, something like that back in those days.
Oh, you know, I remember the Gannon guy.
Yeah.
Huh. It doesn't happen that often, though.
Not really.
But I do remember that. I'm going to have to Google that. But I would be willing to bet that it was not a handpicked person, if what you just told me is true.
Right.
I'm just saying, it might very well have been.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
And don't get me wrong, it happens all the time. Questioners are planted in Republicans' audiences, Democrats' audiences. It does not matter. You got people that you plan in the audience to ask a question that feeds into you know what's coming, so you're able to roll off of it, and it happens all the time. But my point in bringing this guy out was this is not some fringe writing from his parents' basement blogger. I mean, the Huffington Post is a big blog out there. It gets millions of what they call hits every single day. So let's compare that. This guy's Huffington Post article, which was entitled Palin Will Run in 2012 on More Retardation Platform. Let's compare this with the Ironton Tribune. I have been holding this. This was actually back in June. Mike Caldwell wrote this. And the title of it is Names as Bad as Sticks and Stones Sometimes. He writes, what's in a name? Well, a lot if that name has a negative connotation and promotes stereotypical treatment. I probably hadn't been in the Tribune newsroom a week when I got the assignment. Hey, you need to cover this mental retardation board event, the editor said. I was almost speechless. I couldn't believe my boss was asking me to do that, using such negative and cruel language. One wonders if Mike ever reads this Huffington Post article about Palin, whether he would find that funny or not. We'll never know, but that's, as I said, that's just wondering out loud. I later found out that he had used the correct terminology, and this was the proper designation for the Lawrence County Board of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities. But it just never felt right to me. And if Ohio's lawmakers have their way, no one else will ever have to face this issue again. Senate Bill 79, commonly called the, quote, name change bill, unquote, was recently passed unanimously by the Ohio House of Representatives. The law goes back to the Senate for final approval next week because of some minor changes. This law would strike the words mental retardation from the state agency bearing those words and also all 88 county boards. Having seen up close and personal the abilities of these kids for many years, I can tell you that these men, women, and children deserve this change. It may be just a name change to you or me, but for those personally touched, it is like a brand new day without stereotypes and stigma. Okay, my point I'm making here is it is political correctness. The term mental retardation is, in fact, the scientific term to be used to describe that condition. I was called tasteless because of my theme song from Michael Jackson, which is not brand new. It's been here 2 years, which is Where the Boys Are. Now, I just read an article about Sarah Palin talking about how she's running on the mental retardation platform in 2012. Now, you've got those two things. Now, one other thing that I want to bring into this, and this is the president from Jay Leno, probably 3-4 months ago. It was right after he took office.
Yeah.
This was President Obama on the Jay Leno show.
It was like Special Olympics or something.
It was like Special Olympics or something. What he was talking about was his bowling game. Was he not?
Yes, he was.
And he took a lot of heat for that. At least the massive amount of heat that this media can actually generate, which... I guess the better way to put it was, in the internet world, he took a lot of heat for that comment. So, wrapping this all up, now you can pick and choose at this and say that's tasteless, okay? Because he can't defend himself, is the reason given. Can the people that suffer from mental retardation defend themselves? No, they can't. And you've got a president making fun of them. And you've got a blogger talking, making fun of Sarah Palin's child. So, it's so easy to just take the narrow slice and say that is utterly outrageous. It's human nature to do so. And what I did with the Palin thing with Letterman was we had a long thing about that, didn't we? We probably went 2, 3, 4 segments on that.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, what did I do? David Letterman apologized, and I said, "Apology accepted." And not that he's waiting on my acceptance of an apology, but my point was people say things and they come out wrong sometimes. And he apologized for it. And he's still on the air. Don Imus did his thing and he's not, after going on an apology tour. So, and he should have been still on the air in his current gig. Because you cannot talk 3 hours a day, every single day, for years upon years, and not say something that you're going to regret. So you've got to be consistent right down the path on if you're going to fling stuff like Tasteless out there. You've got to be consistent with it. And I've been consistent with it, with the Michael Jackson theme, because it's been played on this show since basically the very beginning. The difference is, with all of this, is that, of course, President Obama apologized. You know what? He made a slip of the tongue. It happens. He was on Jay Leno. You want to go on there, you want to be seen as peppy, as fun, as funny. You don't want to go on there like Bob Dole. When Dole went on whatever show he went on, and it was just awful. It was just like watching somebody get their teeth pulled. I mean, it was just brutal. And it sunk him to a large degree back in 96. Not that he would have won anyways, because he wouldn't have. But I digress. I don't hold that against the president. You know? I mean, he's human. He messed up. It was a one-time thing. Michael Jackson's activities were not a one-time thing. It stretched for years. I will not give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. I just won't, and I won't apologize for it. I might even consider, I would maybe consider apologizing if the Connie Francis Where the Boys Are theme song had just been played this week. Then he might have had a point. Would you agree with that?
I agree. I can see
where that would be construed as piling on the death of the man.
Right.
I can see that. But that's not what happened here over the years. That has been played consistently. And that is the key word. Consistency. If you're going to bang on me for that, how can you possibly look at what Sarah Palin has been called? The Letterman stuff. And look at that and laugh. Find that humorous. So you find humor in that narrow slice. Whatever ideology it fits for you. Michael Jackson's theme is not ideological. That is a human reaction, albeit used with humor, to a situation that was at the very least creepy. At the very least, and at the very most, something I don't even want to think about. And to not acknowledge that, and to say, well, why are you doing this? He's assumed room temperature. You think that what I talked about tonight, that is going to pale in comparison to the stuff that's getting ready to come out about him? That I can guarantee. You're listening to Airing It Out. You can go to drewskaggs.com. That is with a K, of course. There is no other way to spell it. The C's are just posers. Apologies to all the Skaggs that spell it with the C out there. They're just posers. You need to do the right thing. Go down to the DMV and make the change. I mean, your life will get so much better once you drop the C. And I'm not biased at all. So we received a call. Our listeners, really, they're the best, because I had that article. It was a Huffington Post guy, and I said, "When's the last time you heard a blogger ask a question at a press conference of the president?" And he called in and said there was a gay guy that Jeff Gannon that asked a question of President Bush. Right. And I say, I remember that, but here's the description in Wikipedia. Said he posed as a conservative columnist under the pseudonym Jeff Gannon, was given credentials as a White House reporter between 2003 and 2005. He eventually was employed by the news organization Talon News during the latter part of this period. He first gained national attention during a presidential press conference in January of 2005 when he asked George W. Bush a question that some in the press corps considered so friendly it might have been planted. to use a Michael Jackson song to the male media people in D.C. Man in the mirror, anyone? You talk about so friendly they might be considered planted. Have you caught a press conference with President Obama lately? The only one that asked any sort of question was Major Garrett, and that was like 3 weeks ago, and I guarantee you he's verboten now. I mean, he crossed the line. He actually asked a tough question of President Obama. But anyways, Gannon routinely obtained daily passes to White House briefings, attending 4 press conferences, and appearing regularly at White House press briefings. Although he did not qualify for a congressional press pass, he was given daily passes to White House press briefings. Gannon came under public scrutiny for his lack of a journalistic background prior to his work and his involvement with a gay escort service using the professional name Bulldog. Did he work for Barney Frank? Was he in Barney Frank's basement working out of that escort service? You know, how come that's never... Very few people know that about Barney Frank. First of all, very few people are aware that he's gay, which I don't care. But furthermore, a whole heck of a lot of people have no knowledge of the fact that one of his former flings there was running an escort service out of Barney Frank's basement. And that very few people realize that. But I digress. So Bulldog here resigned after he got outed. That's me. Continuing the news to use the name Gannon, he has since created his own official homepage. Or he confirmed he was gay after he was outed as, obviously, as a escort service guy. He operated JeffGannon.com, where he criticized those who exposed him, accusing them of promoting a double standard. Yeah. You know why? Because he was a conservative gay guy. That's a natural double standard. I guarantee you, there's plenty of people that believe in Obama's policies, that write about him, that ask him questions, that will not be outed strictly because of the double standard, and to pretend it doesn't exist is foolish. However, so you've got what the difference is, and thanks to the caller for calling in, we really appreciate it. The difference is, in these two cases, this Huffington Post guy that wrote the article Palin's going to run on retardation platform in 2012, he's not pretending to be anybody. He's who he is. He's with the Huffington Post. There's no pretending going on. He's who he is. This Gannon guy pretended to be a journalist. But I got to tell you, man, kudos to the White House security back under Bush. You can just get right in there and roam around press conferences from the president for 2 years and not even get caught until you get outed. That speaks wonders about that particular situation. Golly, I don't even know where to go from here. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Have you heard, let's see, you got one and two. Have you heard that the president has said yesterday that a second stimulus package is not off the table? Have you heard this?
I have.
Yeah, so it's gaining steam. When the president says that is a trial balloon. Now, I saw an instant poll from Rasmussen that said 67% of Americans are against it. It was either 60 or... It was 60% that were strongly against a second stimulus package. 27% for, and 13% had no idea. Which, how can you have no idea? I mean... Either Ferd or Gannett.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no... but, long story short, if you take that 13 and split it right down the middle, 67% of Americans are against a second stimulus package. So they're floating this idea. And this ran in CNN Money, Dateline New York, Stimulus, Progress or Broken Promise.
Changes. Turn and face the strain. Changes. Wanna be a richer man? Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Nearly 5 months after President Obama signed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, a still worsening economy has many wondering if stimulus is a bunch of baloney. This is from CNN, by the way. In February, the stimulus bill was passed with the promise that funds would be paid out quickly to save or create 750,000 jobs by early August. Without it, the Obama administration said, unemployment could rise to 9% in 2010. With August quickly approaching, $56.3 billion, or 10% of the funds, have been paid out, and the unemployment rate has already risen to 9.5%. This form of stimulus will have no meaningful effect on the economy whatsoever because they don't have a magic wand to create purchasing power. Even if you do think stimulus is effective, what they're arguing is $56 billion is really effective. This is pure spin. And that's exactly what it is. And then you have this accompanying story, Dateline The Washington Times. At least 38 states overestimate tax revenues.
Pay me my money down. Pay me my money down. Pay me or go to jail. Pay me my money down.
At least 38 states overestimated tax revenues, and states weren't just barely missing their revenue projections. They whiffed by large margins. Of course, now, whether it's the state or the federal government, the solution is going to be to raise taxes. Not even considering cutting spending. As a matter of fact, talking about a second stimulus package. Now, I don't know about you all, but average everyday Americans, when they are facing a shortfall, do you go out and spend the money? You spend money you don't have? Do you do that? No, you don't. You cut your spending. That's the very first thing that happens. See, because government at all levels will do everything they can not to reduce the size of their governments, be it local, be it county, be it state, be it federal, does not matter. It's all about gaining more power. They don't care that the taxes they collect are down, which is what this is. I mean, it's Econ 101. They tell you, oh, we're gonna raise taxes, we're gonna generate more revenue. No, you don't. Because people quit spending, people quit developing businesses, and your tax base shrinks. But they don't care about that. They don't care that people are doing this because they no longer have the money to send in. They're going to do whatever it takes to keep taxes going and higher. In this economic environment, just the thought of raising taxes ought to be not even on the drawing board, because not a whole lot of people have anything more to give to the king's men. Their solution is to keep raising taxes. Be sure to take even more money from those who produce it. That's the ticket. That's going to work for sure. Idiots. Now watch for the dire warnings and the threats of impending disaster if you don't hand over your money in the form of taxes, and even more higher taxes, because we've got to be able to fund government. How about you cut government? That's never even talked about. Have you noticed this? Where is this? It's never even discussed. If I could just find it. Here it is. Instead of Economic Stimulus Act of 08, Bear Stearns bailout, Term Securities Lending Facility, Primary Dealing Credit Facility, Student Loan Guarantees, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Foreign Exchange, FHA Housing Rescue. By the way, that right there was just $1.1 trillion. I've got a whole list of the money that has been allocated and spent on all of these programs, and it has not worked. Newsflash, it ain't gonna work. You cannot spur the economy by taking money out of people's pockets. because they're going to do what they're doing right now. We've been told it's impending doom. What are we doing? We're sitting on our wallets. This economy is 70% consumer-based. That is 70% of this economy is based on our spending. We're not spending, but the government sure as heck is. And they ain't cutting. What's a locomotive term? Training, chugging. Chugging into the second hour. Chugging along. That would be. Yeah, I finally got that in the reaches. I cleared the cobwebs out and got that term. And, you know, from the calls coming in that don't want to go on the air, I've got a couple people that agree that it's tasteless and a whole lot that say it's funny. So we will go ahead and play the same theme song we've played for 2 years. For consistency's sake, Dateline Washington, House of Representatives pays tribute to Michael Jackson with a moment of silence. House of Representatives paused for a moment of silence Friday to mark entertainer Michael Jackson's death. Lawmakers briefly interrupted a debate on a global warming bill. At least one good thing came of it. To stand in silence and honor the king of pop, Representative Diane Watson, which, by the way, I agree, he was the king of pop, of California, rose during the debate to suggest the House, quote, pay tribute to the culture that he has left behind. Culture? I won't even go there. The lawmakers send their condolences to Jackson's family, friends, and his fans worldwide. Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. of Illinois said the singer changed the world, and he wants to, quote, thank God for letting all of us live in his generation and in his era, unquote. That's what I want on my headstone. You got to remember this. Lived in Michael Jackson's era. I must have missed the moment of silence for our troops that were lost in Afghanistan. I'm glad that they stick to their constitutionally delegated powers, which don't include this garbage. How about Congress does us all a favor and pay tribute to Michael Jackson? I'd be all on board with this. With 6 months of silence. Really, go home. Just go home, because you're doing nothing for us. You're just train wrecking the economy is what you're doing, with cap and tax, with healthcare stuff, and I could go on and on and on. But remember, before we went off the air on Sunday evening, I said, man, I just, you know that here's going to come Jesse and here's going to come Al. Did I not say that?
Yes.
So I'm working out Monday morning at the YMCA, just, you know, increasing my buffness. And I'm on the elliptical trainer, okay? And I've got my jams going, which I do have Michael Jackson on my iPod. I'm just telling you, I do. So I was listening to whatever it was. I had it on shuffle mode. So I'm sitting there sweating doing this. I look up on the Today Show, and here's Jesse Jackson. Yeah, you just have to laugh. I mean, anywhere there's a TV camera, or in this situation, thousands of TV cameras, you're going to find these goofballs. And he was right there. And speaking of Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, we've never been able to figure out where his church is, but he is the Reverend Al Sharpton. He wants the media to lay off tarnishing Michael Jackson's image. And he wants Jackson to have his own commemorative stamp. I'm not looking that stamp. But it begs the question, a commemorative stamp for Michael Jackson, okay? If there is one, it mirrors the Elvis debate. Fat or skinny Elvis do you put on the stamp? Black or white Michael Jackson? Which one do you choose? That's a tough one.
That is, yeah.
That is a tough one. Speaking at somewhere, he was pushing for a commemorative stamp and would attempt to get a waiver of the U.S. Postal Service's usual 5-year post-death waiting period. Also expressed how upset he is at the way in which some media outlets have handled Jackson's death, saying that there was a disrespectful double standard in the way Jackson's death is being covered in the news as compared to the way that other icons such as Sinatra and Elvis Presley's deaths have been covered. The difference being that Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley were never accused of child molestation. Twice. There's a key difference the Reverend is neglecting to point out here. I mean, but just wait a little bit. You're going to see it. You're going to see the U.S. Mint, whatever that company is. They're going to come up with the commemorative plates. They're going to come up with the commemorative coins. You know, what else are they going to come up with? Stamps. It's going to be a cottage industry that breaks out, and I would say I give an over-under of 3 days before you see the first Michael Jackson commemorative fill-in-the-blank plate, what have you. Who is this organization that does this? Have you seen these commercials?
I've seen them, but I don't know who it is.
I've ever seen one of their plates?
Not in person.
Either have I. I was just kind of curious.
Yeah.
But the Reverend Al Sharpton spoke at the memorial. And he warbled on and on and on. You know, but what's funny is I heard Berry Gordy speak, and Berry Gordy was the only one up there that said, now, his private life, there was some questionable behavior. He was the only one that said anything. But so Sharpton said this during the course of his speech up there.
I want his three children to know, wasn't nothing strange about your daddy. It was strange what your daddy had to deal with.
Wasn't nothing strange about your daddy. Now, Jim and I agreed that he was strange. Did we not agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll find common ground here. Wasn't nothing strange about your daddy. It wasn't strange hanging your 8-month-old over a balcony 6 stories up. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I
remember that.
Right.
Was it strange the way his face changed as it did over the years through so many plastic surgeries that he looked like a survivor of some terrible industrial accident? Was that strange?
Yeah.
Having a chimp named Bubbles as his best friend? Was that strange?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing this out here. Didn't know if he was a child or a man. Thus the problem, quite honestly. Some think sleeping with someone else's children is a little strange. I'm in that camp. And finally, naming your youngest Blanket? Do you know the kid's name is Blanket?
Yeah.
Sharpton knows better. But being the cynical manipulator that he is, he also knew it would be a very popular thing to say. Where he was, the location he was. Witness what you heard. The cheering that the remark provoked. But what you didn't see, because it's radio after all, was the standing ovation. Now listen, this is going to be the last I talk about it. We can disagree with a lot of things, and we've done it tonight. But you can't disagree with the fact that the guy was just terrifically weird and terrifically talented. Thus, the dichotomy that you face, and this is what I told my wife yesterday evening, I cannot separate the two things. I just can't. His personal life and his public life. Because after all, he was the one that intertwined them. While he was the greatest entertainer ever. To quote Scott, the black cloud will always, always be over his head. Last I speak of it, touche. This is airing it out as I moonwalk through the palatial studios of 105.7 WLGC. My man Jeff, he just throws things in there that I just don't expect a lot of the times, but it's all part of the fun and frivolity of our show. You can go to drewskaggs.com, by the way, and see the live internet stream. Let's go light for a little bit. Now, light is the operative word here, because you're either a caffeinated guy or a decaffeinated guy. Well, I really can't. I'll use my wife for an example again. She drinks decaffeinated Diet Coke like at from 5 o'clock on, because she's up all night if she drinks a caffeinated Diet Coke. So I guess there's... But with I guess it applies to coffee, too. But I can have a cup of coffee at 9:30 and be sawing logs at 9:45. It affects me nada. I don't know. It's kind of odd, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm the same way.
Are you?
It's kind of weird. I guess I'm kind of weird because...
Well, that goes without saying.
In the morning, I can drink coffee or pop or something, and I'll be wide awake the rest of the day. But at night, if I drink it, it'll help me relax.
Really? So it has a calming... Yeah. Effect on you.
Yeah, it's just, I guess, maybe it depends on my mood already, but in the morning it helps me wake up, and in the evening it helps me calm down.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing, caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
I drink at least a dozen cups a day, and I'm not talking little baby cups. Yeah. And I'm talking grande, or vente, or whatever they call them at these places.
No, I'm not that bad. I only drink about a bottle of Coke a day or something like that.
Not bad. Now, we'll back up here. What do you mean not bad?
I don't drink as much as you do.
Okay, that's a much better way to put a Dateline BBC News. Coffee may reverse Alzheimer's. That would be number 8.
Okay.
Coffee may reverse Alzheimer's. Little Bob Dylan singing one more cup of coffee. Drinking 5 cups of coffee a day could reverse memory problems seen in Alzheimer's disease, U.S. scientists say. How great is that? I drink 12 a day. I'm like bulletproof. What was I saying? I need to drink more coffee. The Florida research carried out on mice also suggested, where is PETA when you need them? I mean, we should not be caffeinating mice. Yeah. Also suggested caffeine hampered the production of the protein plaques, which are the hallmark of the disease. Previous research has also suggested a protective effect from caffeine. How cool is that? Because if you'll remember, a jog back in memory here, 8-10 years ago, that coffee was terrible.
Yeah.
You should not be drinking coffee. Those were, that's what the word was. For a variety and a sundry of different reasons. The 55 mice used in the University of South Florida study had been bred to develop symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. They gave half the mice caffeine in their drinking water. The rest were given plain water. So this is the test study. The mice were given the equivalent of 5 cups of coffee a day. So when the mice were tested again after 2 months, those who were given the caffeine performed much better on tests measuring their memory and thinking skills and performed as well as mice of the same age without dementia. Those drinking plain water continued to do poorly on the tests. So it's just really interesting what science continues to find. Who would have thought? And I have no idea. This might be one of those things that goes absolutely nowhere. But the key to this thing is there's already been previous studies showing the same exact thing. So our healthcare system, the worst in the world, according to a lot of people, continue to develop stuff that is mind-boggling. And the mind-boggling part of it is with a substance classified as a drug by the FDA, known as caffeine. I don't know. I just thought it was a really, really interesting article that, you know, when you talk about the dreadful disease that is Alzheimer's, and really, any disease is dreadful, don't get me wrong, but there's some that are particularly just awful. MS is one. CP. Alzheimer's is right up there at the top because you retain your physical abilities, but that's it. It's just a brutal disease, and man, hopefully something can come of this. And who would have thought, if it does, that it would be coffee? And when we went to the break, I said, you know, what am I going to get into next? Well, I popped up, so we are Topical Talk Radio. And this is the latest, the aforementioned Scott Rasmussen, who I mentioned in the last segment last. You know, a very respected pollster. The president's approval rating is now down to 52%. Now, what does that mean? That means the honeymoon is over. Americans are waking up, is what that means. But beyond that, I want to bring you back to George W. Bush's presidency. When he started his fall all the way down to 29-32% is where he wound up. You had a media basically having a watch on it from the time it got to 55 all the way down. And it was, is he going to break the 50% barrier? If he breaks below 50%, that shows a lack of belief in his abilities. The public will be deserting him. Do you remember that? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it was.
Right, yeah.
The 50% was the key figure, because once you go below 50%, and it's just it's hard to get those numbers back up there once you go below 50%. And the talking heads every single night, oh, he's 48. Oh, have you seen the latest one, 44? And the presidential tracking polls became news for the last 2.5 years of his presidency. It became news. Polls. Simple polls. Stories crafted around poll numbers. What does it mean? Where is he going? What about his base? What about the people in the House and the Senate that support him? Are they going to flee? I mean, you heard everything all across the board. I wonder if you're going to hear the same thing now. Because the media has got so much invested in this guy. I doubt it. He is at 52% approval rating. Presidents have usually a 1-year honeymoon period where their numbers stay up because people want the president to succeed. They want, and I'm making a difference here. I'm making, some might say a distinction without a difference, but there is. They want to think well of their president. That's what it comes down to. Americans want to think well of their president. So there is a lag time between the American people realizing that the policies that are being put forth from whomever occupies the White House, those numbers go first. As I said earlier, 67% of Americans do not want a second stimulus bill. Now, I've got to ask, remember, 95% of Americans weren't going to have their taxes raised a bit. So you would think that if this stimulus thing was such a grand idea and it was going to put money in people's pockets, they would be all for it. It just stands to reason. But they're not. Because they understand. And what I've said on this show all the time, I have faith in the American people. I believe in the American people. It takes them a lot of time sometimes to make up their minds. But what you're seeing is minds being made up. Approval rating, 52%. You will not hear on any of the alphabet networks this evening the question, is he going to fall below the magical 50% mark, which he's just 2% away from? What you'll see is the New York Times, CBS, all these other media outlets that have invested in this guy are going to rush out their own polls. And what they're going to say is, our poll shows 63% of Americans support this president. And that is all well and good. But people understand the reason that the dinosaur media is dying off and it can't happen soon enough is because they have a bias inherent in how they report the news and thus the polls that they produce. People know that. So it will be greeted with a yawn. Rasmussen is as right down the middle as you will find. And he's got it at 52%. He's got the president at a -5 approval. What that is 37% of Americans strongly disagree with this president. 32% strongly agree. That's -5%. That is precarious territory. And you've got him at the 52% mark. What does that mean? That means the people that have hitched their cart to President Obama, be them in the House or in the Senate, this could not happen at a better time. Because if there's one thing politicians know, they're able to wet their finger and stick it up in the air and know which way the wind is blowing. So the more he creeps down, the less likely they're going to support some idiotic measure like cap and tax. So there is a nugget of good news in this, other than the 52%. But I'm just telling you, you'll never see that. You will not see that on any of the alphabet networks. They will be covering and producing, running out their own polls to say, no. No, that's not what we have. Because people believed this. They believed and they clamored for change. And we had the calls. It cannot get any worse than George Bush. When the American people think of change, they usually think of change for the better. That's what the thought process was. And it was a beautifully run campaign by Obama. He knew that that's how the American people think. How's that hope and change you voted for working out for you right now? And for myself and others that think, that follow politics from a conservatarian angle, conservative mixed with libertarian, this change is working about exactly how we figured. More debt, more taxes, more welfare, more regulation, more government, more wasteful spending. That is, now we know, what the change was that he planned. And the American people are waking up to the fact. They can go out there and say all they want. This is going to work. Trust us. We're gonna get this economy turned around. But the American people inherently and intrinsically know that government is not the solution. And here's another headline. Obama backs plan to halt global temperatures. And I got to tell you, this is not geared towards him. It's geared toward that thinking that you can halt global temperatures. That man and mankind, through his own machinations and efforts, can decide what the mean temperature is going to be for the globe. That is arrogance, unlike any arrogance you'll ever find. And I don't care who or whom it is. John McCain, big believer in this this gobbledygook, global warming, man-made global warming, Republican. There's plenty of Republicans that are for this garbage. But that is arrogance. And I know I'm veering from one topic to the other, but I am going to link them. That is sheer arrogance that you think and believe that you have the power because you got 50%, 50.1% of the votes. You have the power to be able to dictate what the global temperature is going to do. It just seems ridiculous to me. Does it to you?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you cannot. The sun heats up, the sun cools down, and it does so over 8 and 10 and 12 and 15,000 year cycles. We've only been on this earth for a little over 2,000 years. And we think, these politicians think that through their grandiose plans, which are nothing but a power grab, they think they can dictate what the global temperature is going to be. Arrogance, unlike anything I've ever seen. I had somebody talk to me the other day, and he said, you know, I consider the man-made global warming people, I consider that a cult. You know, I've made the case that for a lot of the believers of this, they have replaced traditional religion with this. This is their religion. But he had an interesting take on it. He said it's due to the 2000 election. Okay, and I had the same reaction you did. I just kind of smiled and took a turn back. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to expand and expound a little bit on that. But think about it. They never got over the media, liberals, the quote-unquote stolen election. All right? Never got over it. It was stolen. Illegitimate president. All of that. So when Gore started trying to be relevant again with global warming, which, by the way, he spent 8 years in the White House and did nothing for global warming. It only became an issue when he was out of office, if you'll notice. But the media and those on the left felt they owed it to him to support him because, after all, the election was stolen from him. Then, like the simpletons that they are, they started believing this stuff. They never believed that Bush was their president, and they martyred Al Gore. And he has used this to foist the greatest scam, some might say next to Obama, ever pulled on Americans and America. Man-made global warming. It's a scam. It's three-card Monty. And I thought, you know what? That is a really, really interesting supposition. I've never heard it put quite that way.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes some sense.
It does.
You know, I had thought about that. You know, because I wonder. You got to be kidding me, Al Gore.
Yeah.
Al Gore is the Pied Piper of this movement, who doesn't debate anybody. He's never had an honest to God debate on this science or lack thereof with anyone, and refuses to. Do you ever see him on the stage with anybody else other than the portly Al Gore blowing his old man-made global warming? No, you don't. Because he won't do it. Well, he doesn't need to, because he's making just millions upon millions of dollars on this. Now, this is interesting. On the same vein, along the same vein, Robert Byrd blasts cap and trade. It's just crossed the headlines. He's not yet back to work in the Senate chamber, but Robert Byrd is opposing cap-and-trade legislation proposed by the Obama administration. This is what I'm talking about. Byrd doesn't have to worry about re-election because he'll be re-elected until he's assumed room temperature. But he knows what it's going to do to West Virginia. and Kentuckians know what it's going to do. Anybody that's got a coal-based economy is going to be facing energy costs double. And Bird knows that. He was released from the hospital. I cannot support the House bill in its present form. I continue to believe that clean coal can be a green energy. Those of us who understand coal's great potential in our quest for energy independence must continue to work diligently in shaping a climate bill that will ensure access to affordable energy for West Virginians. I remain bullish about the future of coal and am so proud of the miners who labor and toll in the coal fields of West Virginia. The key there. Ensure access to affordable energy for West Virginians. The same guy on the campaign trail and to this day says taxes will, you will pay no more taxes. 95% of Americans doesn't want to talk about the energy and what it's going to do to West Virginians. And who is that going to hit the hardest? Who? The poor. That's who it's going to hit. That's who it's directed at. If you can't look at that and see that, you're talking about Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, Illinois, a lot of the coal-based economies, who right now we enjoy some of the lowest rates of electricity in the country. And I saw a study the other day. West Virginia is number one. Kentucky is number two in terms of how much this is going to hit the pocketbook. West Virginians are going to pay the most, and Kentuckians are going to pay the second most should this cap and tax go through. Three-card Monty. All of this predicated on a belief that man has the ability to control and cap global temperatures. Arrogance run amok, and now it's going to cost us money. But no. You're not going to see your taxes raised at all. Just everything else. It's just been a really cool show.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, when we say topical talk radio, that's, I mean, we've hit basically every topic that's, you know, that is in the news right this very instant.
Yeah.
So it's just been a lot of fun, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I know that I appreciate all of you out there listening. Before we get to our usual segment, did you know that today, just after midnight, did you hear this? Just after noon. Yeah, I guess it works either way. Just after midnight and just after noon today, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 12:34.
Right.
And then when it hit the 56-second mark, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow.
Yeah. And the last time this happened was 1,220 years ago.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is
cool. Yeah, so we kind of lived through history together here, although nobody really realizes it.
Right.
And nothing catastrophic happened, which is kind of cool. I would think, you know, with all the, you ever watch these cult stories on TV, and they're always predicting, you know, the earth coming to, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, when there's only one person that knows when that's going to happen anyways.
Right.
I would think this, they could, if they would have known this, they could have just run with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Although it happened 1,220 years ago and we made it through then. So I guess that kind of, but this time it really would have, I don't know. And it doesn't happen again for another 1,000 years.
Wow.
I'm assuming that we're not going to be around in 1,000.
Probably not.
Huh?
Not us specifically.
No. Well, no. Mankind, hopefully, yes, yeah. Mankind. But, no, it will be. I mean, the worms will have done their job on us.
We won't be around in any way.
Except for Michael. Did you see that he was in a gold-plated casket?
I didn't hear
He was in a gold-plated casket. And the rumor is that they're going to bury him in concrete.
Wow.
Yeah, because they're worried about grave robbers or something. I don't know. That's probably a legitimate concern when you deal with celebrities like that. But my point is the worms ain't going to get to him.
Yeah, I mean, even if Even if he was buried in the dirt, I don't think he would decompose much.
That is, I hadn't even thought of that. But that is tasteless.
Yeah.
Dateline Des Moines, the Des Moines Register.com. Thank you for whomever sent this to me. Police say Des Moines man smashed pizza into woman's face.
I like pizza.
A Des Moines man is being held without bond this morning for allegedly assaulting a girlfriend with a slice of pizza. How exactly do you do this? Maybe she was allergic to marinara sauce.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe she was allergic to the flour that makes up pizza.
Yeah.
I mean,
could be.
He was assaulting a girlfriend with a slice of pizza. That's not on the. It's just assault, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. This is the media at work. He was sitting in a car outside when police arrived. He admitted that he used a pizza slice to smash into her face. She had redness around her neck and carpet burn on a knee.
From the pizza?
He deserves it. probably from after the pizza was slammed in there. So he was very upset. Told them Relaford choked her. Oh.
Yeah.
Said it only takes 2 minutes to choke a expletive. Sounds like a great, great guy. He was charged with domestic assault causing injury. So he was not charged with assault with a slice of pizza. He was assaulted, or he was charged with domestic assault causing injury. Why would they write this story like this?
I have no idea.
Seriously.
Maybe they're anti-pizza.
Why would you be anti-pizza?
I like pizza.
I don't know.
I had a slice today for lunch. Do you know what I had?
Yeah.
It's Belafonte restaurant. Do they advertise on our show? They have in the past.
They have, yeah.
Yeah. I hope they will in the future because I was there today, had a business meeting, and sat down and enjoyed a delectable slice of feta cheese pizza.
I like pizza.
And that's what I said while I was eating it because, first of all, I like pizza.
I like pizza.
I like feta cheese.
Yeah.
I like pepperonis. Is it pepperonis or is it pepperoni? I guess I like pepperoni.
I think it's pepperoni.
Yeah, I like pepperoni. I like ham. And I like onions. I like pizza.
I like pizza.
And if you're down that way, I would highly recommend a slice of feta cheese pizza. Wonderful. It is just it plays a symphony in your mouth. Now, I don't think it would be too good to assault. I just don't see how that's going to really, really, I'm thinking his hand was what caused the injury,
yeah.
Not the pizza.
I like pizza.
Because after all, we like pizza here. And so, as you can tell, it does. Homer.
Right.
Is that enough for the I like pizza?
I think so.
Talk about plastic and Michael Jackson. Dateline, where is this? Zurich. Dateline Zurich. Swiss town erects giant plastic Michael Jackson. A giant plastic statue of Michael Jackson has been unveiled in a village near the Swiss city of Zurich. As if nobody knows what Zurich is? That's the only city you know in Switzerland, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Head of a ceremony to pay homage to the late pop icon. The 39-foot, 4-ton, gray... That is some heavy plastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gray statue of the self-proclaimed King of Pop with contrasting gold-colored belts and straps was installed on a lawn in the middle of Regensdorf. Quote, there are just 19 of them in the world and 2 in Europe, said Andreas Grassmann, who is organizing the event. We are organizing a big party tonight and during the weekend to celebrate the singer, the Swiss entrepreneur who described himself as a big fan of Jackson. Now, I like some of Michael Jackson's music.
Yeah.
I think if you own a 39-foot, 4-ton statue of Michael Jackson. Does it really need to be said that you're a big fan?
I don't think so.
It really doesn't.
No.
I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look up and see a 39-foot Michael Jackson above you. It goes without saying that Andreas is a big fan.
Yes.
I'm just taking issue a little bit. We've spent the last 5 days getting it ready. The organizers, who are expecting tens of thousands of fans, are preparing to sell roses and candles at the event. Capitalism. They are also opening a book of condolence for visitors to sign. The event will be completely free. And, of course, we will listen to Michael Jackson's music. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just, if I was in Zurich, I'd go over there. I would want to see exactly what a 39-foot plastic Michael Jackson looks like.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Right.
So, see how that went really nicely with your plastic comment. And we didn't even plan that, did we?
No, we didn't.
You had no earthly idea.
I did.
Before, when we came out of the room, while we were in the break, I said, hey, listen, can you play Beat It one more time?
I had no idea what it was for.
We've just got this thing going. I mean, it's ESP or something.
All this time
that we've spent together, it's I'm wearing off on you, and some might say that that's not a good thing. But I would not be one of them. Well, thank everybody for listening this evening. We certainly appreciate the fact that you're out there. The next live edition of Airing It Out will be this Sunday at 5 p.m. We hope that you'll tune in then to continue the conversation. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.